The last time I was there, I think there were very few people in the church, and that was during COVID. It's so nice to see so many people. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy, and in the right hand, there are pleasure forevermore. Thank God for another wonderful time to talk about Jesus during the prayer meeting this morning. During the meeting this morning, we said we're going to talk about Jesus, and somebody said we always talk about Jesus. That's true. Jesus, 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 every day, every second we live is about Jesus. I'm going to continue the series we started last week. Pastor Darius, he spoke about the Holy Spirit. It's about Trinity. He spoke about the Holy Spirit last week. Last week was on Pentecost Sunday. And this week I'm going to speak about Jesus, God the Son. And next week, Trevor is going to speak about the Father. So, Trinity. I've got 25, 30 minutes. And to pack everything in that, I'm still booming, if you could. Thank you. Yeah, to pack everything within that space of time, it's difficult. But Jesus said the volume of book was written about him. So for me to now put everything, if someone says the volume of books were written about him, to now put everything in 30 minutes, you know that. And John, in the book of John, he says, if everything that Jesus did were to be written down, books in this world would not contain it. Amen. So it's a privilege to speak about him. It's my Lord, it's my Savior. When I gave my life to him, I couldn't believe it because there's this peace that just in you that you just know when you give your life to him. Amen. I believe anybody there that's not experienced him, will experience him this morning in the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word gives life and give understanding to the simple. Thank you, Lord, for today's teaching will not just be academic, Lord. It will be by your spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lives will be touched. Hopeless will have hope. Thank you, Lord, for total transformation, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Trinity. The Trinity. We Christians, we believe in one God, yeah. But this God, they coexist eternally, three distinct persons who are co-equal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's no junior, God the Father is superior. God the Son is more than the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal. However, they have distinct role to play. Distinct role. We have to understand that. But one God. Amen. One God. The understanding of Trinity is the backbone of Christianity. I know there are a lot of teachings around that don't believe in Trinity. This is the core of Christianity. Amen. So who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Today I'm going to focus, as I said, I'm going to focus God the Son. Who is Jesus? So who is he? This question has been around for years since Jesus walked the streets of Jerusalem. Some people called him the son of carpenter, Joseph the carpenter. Some people call him, it's one of the prophets. Even nowadays, people call him, it's one of the prophets. It's just a mere man. No, Jesus is God. Amen. Jesus is God. Jesus is not the son of Joseph or another prophet. Amen. Jesus is God. He is God. We have to settle that. He is God. He is God in everything. Everything is God. Amen. That is the understanding we have to have. Jesus asked his disciples, "That who do men say I am?" And by the revelation of the Father through the Holy Spirit, Peter spoke up. He said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. We can only understand this through the revelation given by the Father. Amen. We can't understand it by reading any other books. It's only by reading the Bible. Amen. If you want to know anything about Jesus, you have to open your Bible and read it. You can't go to Quran, sorry to speak. to read about Jesus. They claim that Jesus was mentioned in the Quran. Yeah, but you can't know Jesus by reading Quran or reading Scientology books or reading any other philosophy books. Anything you want to know about Jesus is in the Bible. Amen. Let us dive in into the Bible. If you could, please, 1 John. Yeah, thank you. I remember the first time I had a encounter with this part of the Bible. That was during my teenage year. I grew up as a Baptist. And we do this thing. There was something, I'm not sure whether they still do it. It's a sword drill. Yeah, they said, you have to, they will give you the passage of scripture, and then you take your Bible, you open it. So if you know, if you manage to open it, you step forward. So they will give you points. So that day, they said, in the beginning, and they quoted John 1, and I was looking. I opened to Genesis. I said, what's happening? I couldn't find it. And after the coordinator was just laughing. And then they now told us it's in John 1. I like John 1 because the way it is, the book is written, is just everything about that book is about Jesus. Amen. All other books, they started the genealogy of Jesus, traced to David, traced to Joseph. But these actually traces to the beginning. Amen. Let's read it. It says, in the beginning, the Word was with God. It says, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The Word was God. It was with God in the beginning. Through Him, that is the Word, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh. That is 14 now. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwell among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the begotten, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. The Word, the Word, the Word. Who is the Word? Who is the Word? If we open to Revelation 19:13. Sorry, it's not on the slide. Revelation 19:13 says, it talked about Jesus Christ. He said He was on the earth. He was wearing robe dipped in blood. And His name is the Word of God. Amen. So Jesus is the Word of God. So from here, you can actually put Jesus there. It's when He came to the house that we said, it's Jesus. When the Word, we still get there. He said, so you can be in the beginning, there was Jesus. Jesus was there in the beginning. Amen. Amen. So if we go further, let's go further into 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifested in the flesh. So Jesus is God. Amen. Just as what we established in John 1. It said the Word was God. So Jesus is God. Amen. So from these two passages and three passages that we've read so far, we can draw the conclusion that Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is the creator of all things. Amen. Amen. Let us go more into the scripture. In Colossians 2:9. When we are talking about the deity of Jesus, because it's divine, there's nothing. Some people try to negotiate and debate about it. There's nothing that is debatable about it. It says, the fullness of deity dwells in Him. Amen. The Godhead, everything about Godhead is in Christ. Amen. Amen. Paul was talking to the Colossians Christian. He says, what he means by this is that Jesus, whom you look to as your Savior, is the real and true embodiment of invisible God. So God is God. Amen. Jesus is God. I'm just trying to establish this fact because outside there, you hear people saying all manner of things. Amen. So we have to settle this. If this is the only thing we settle today, that's enough. Jesus is God. Amen. When Jesus was in John 5:18, Jesus was in. He was discussing with the Jews, the leaders in the synagogue. And they wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. Why? Because That's the scripture. Thank you. He said, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he broke the Sabbath, the Sabbath law. That's even not the worst thing. He said, because he claimed to be God. Amen. So from his own mouth and from what he did, they knew that this guy was claiming to be God. Who he is. He is God. Amen. So let us look at some divine attributes of Jesus. There are lots, but I'm just going to point us to few. Amen. He's the creator, as we saw in, he's the creator of all things. Colossians 1:16. I'm not going to read that. I'm just whetting our appetite so we can go home and search these scriptures. He's omnipotent. That's in having unlimited. Sorry, can you hear me from the back? All right. He's omnipotent. I'm having unlimited power. Can do all things. Amen. Can do all things. That's Hebrews 1:1-14. Immutable. God, he can't change. Jesus cannot change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He remains the same. Amen. He's eternal. Without beginning or the ending. There's no end with him. He existed before time. And after time, when everything is folded up, he will still continue to exist. Amen. Let's go back to John 1:14. Because it's very interesting here. And the Word became flesh. And the Word became flesh. Dwell amongst us. Amen. The Word became flesh. In Christ Jesus, divinity, we can say divinity meet humanity. That means God and human come together in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Word became flesh. God taking on humanity. Amen. The second person in Trinity became flesh. Appeared as man. Amen. He appeared as us. Amen. He's God. No change in personality. Amen. His personality hasn't changed at all. He was God and then he changed to man. No. He's fully God. Truly God and truly man. Amen. It's not 50-50. Oh, it's a deal. 50. No. No. He's truly God and he's truly man. Amen. Amen. He has to come because he has to come. Why? He has to come as a man. He has to step down his glory to come like one of us. Amen. He could not have saved us if he's purely God, so to speak, because we needed a representative. That is why angels, they couldn't save us. Angels couldn't save us. We are in a big, big mess. Humanity was in a mess before Jesus Christ stepped down. So we needed someone. And that is why God became flesh. He took on humanity. Full human nature he took on. Amen. In 2 John 1:17. Because to some people, this is a very, very controversial statement to say God become man. And we were one of it. So like 2,000 years ago, the same John that wrote the book of John, he said, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Amen. This is deceiver and antichrist. So those people, if you hear anybody that's telling you that Jesus Christ is not God, he hasn't come in flesh, just step aside. Let the person move on. Because actually, if you read further that passage, the 10, it said don't even entertain the person in your house. So there are some people, you see them on Saturdays or Sunday moving 2x2, 3x3. They don't believe in Trinity. They don't believe in things like this. Just move aside. Let them go their way because they are preaching heresy. Amen. So why did he become flesh? Why did Jesus become flesh? Man, we were in deep problem. Amen. Adam sinned, said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's if you could go go further, please. That's in 1 John 3:5. So why did we need, why did Jesus come in the flesh? It's because of the sin nature that we've got. We inherited it from Adam. And without it, we cannot approach God. We cannot, God wanted us to come to the fellowship we had before with him, before the disobedience of Adam. And God, as I said, angels could not have saved us. There's nothing, God in his infinite wisdom, he said, look, I'm going to do something that's never been done before. He prepared a body. That's in Hebrews 10:5. He prepared a body and he became one of us. Amen. And as I said, this guy, if you go further, please. Don't worry, you can go back to where you were. That passage of scriptures, it talked about the look at the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. He is there. He came because of our sin, so that he might save us, and we are saved. Amen. There was a man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I'm not sure I put it there. He said, if Christ is not truly God, how could he help us? Okay, that's it. How could he help us? If he's not truly man, how could he help us? So he has to be both. He has to be God, he has to be man to be able to help us. Amen. And in scripture, that's why I put it there. Let's look some attributes of Jesus, that he is actually man, is truly man, is fully man. The humanity of Jesus. He looked like us. He was a Jew. He was a Jew. People that knew him, they wrote about him. They had an encounter with him. He had a body, according to the scripture, 1 Peter 2:24. It said on his body, he was hanged on the tree. He had a spirit. He said, in your spirit I commit, in your hand I commit my spirit. That means God, Jesus had a spirit. He had a soul, just like us. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Amen. He was thirsty. He was hungry. He was angry. Subject to growth and development. Increasing wisdom. And he prayed constantly to God. Amen. Just to show you that he is man as well. We've done the aspect of God, that Jesus is God. And now the aspect of Jesus is man. Amen. In every way, in every respect, he was tempted. He was tempted. He was tempted. Amen. But this very unique thing about him is this. In all things, he was like us, but this is very, very important, without sin. Without sin. We have to establish that. He didn't inherit the sin nature we've got from Adam. He was without sin. Let's look at these scriptures, three of them. Paul says he knew no sin. Amen. Peter says he did no sin. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says it's without sin. Amen. Those three scriptures are very, very key. They are very, very important when we are talking about this, that Jesus is without sin. Amen. It is tempting to say that what we are going through, at times when we are going through things, you think that you are the only person going through it. But I can tell you that you are not the only person, because when Jesus Christ was born, he was actually born into your shoe. Everything you're passing through, he actually passed through them. Amen. When he was born in Bethlehem, he put on your shoe, so to speak. Amen. Hebrews 2:14. It said, for as much then as children are partaker of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise partook of the same. He partook of what you are partaking of. Amen. That through death might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He destroyed the devil. Amen. You can think that no one cares. Jesus cares. No one understands. Jesus understands. He knows what you're passing through because he passed through them. You might be feeling alone, but Jesus is always with you. He is always there with you. He walked in your shoe. He knows that. He knows what you're going through. He understands your struggles. Amen. He's been victorious over struggles. So he's giving you guidance and strength to deal with yours as well. Amen. Jesus Christ was praised and criticized. He experienced betrayal, loyalty and betrayal. People followed him. There was a point, a lot of people followed him. And there was a point he was alone. There was a point he felt very, very close to the Father. And he was forsaken. So he knew, he experienced what you are experiencing. Because of his humanity, you can feel very, very comfortable. Because he became human, because he put on flesh. Because he became flesh. Amen. Because Christ, as it is in 1 John, he dwell among us. He put on our nature. Amen. You can feel comfortable coming to him in every situation. It's not a time to run away from God. It's not the time to run away from him. He knows our nature. He knows our frailty. He knows. Amen. That's the comforting thing about the word became flesh. It should be a source of comfort and confidence for us that Christ became flesh. Amen. I will summarize today's teaching by looking at some accomplishment of Jesus Christ when he was, what he did, what he's doing, and what the future holds. Amen. And it's some work that he did. We've talked about the creation. He created all things according to the scripture. All things were created by him. And at the same time, he's upholding all things, including your life. He's upholding my life so that it won't fall. Amen. All things. That's in Hebrews 1:3 and 1 Colossians 1:16. He's the creator of all things. We can't talk about Jesus Christ without talking about his atonement. He atoned for our sins. Amen. It says in 1 Peter 3:18, it says, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Amen. He's into ministry of reconciliation. He's bringing us back to God. He's bringing us back to God. Amen. Hebrews 2:17. Probably I didn't put it on the slide. It says, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. That is talking about us, that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Amen. There's this ministry of Jesus. What he's doing now is actually sitting at the right side of the Father, interceding for us, like advocacy. Amen. That's what he's doing at the moment. He said, why is that necessary? You know, there's this condemnation that comes to people. Say, you are not good enough. You have not done that. You are a sinner. But Jesus Christ is telling you, that's the accuser, the devil. He will be pointing to you that you're not good enough. But Jesus Christ is telling you, he's telling the Father, that, look, I've paid for that. He's standing in gap with you, for you. I've paid for that. Look, the penalty has been paid. In Romans 8:34, it says, who is to condemn? Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who has risen, who has raised, who is at the right hand of the Father, who indeed interceding for us. He's there constantly telling the Father. And 1 John 2:21 as well. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Jesus Christ the righteous is the advocate. He's always there interceding for us, interceding for us. And lastly, what's going to do in the future? Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. Whether we like it or not, it's coming back. Whether we believe it or not, it's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back in full glory. Amen. And it's taking us home with him. Amen. There is hope. There is hope for the future. It's hope for now and for the future. He's coming back. He's going to reign. He's got a kingdom. He told the Jews that my kingdom you don't know of. It's not of this earth. There will be a new earth. Everything will be new. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And I was thinking over the weekend, the band can come, please. I was thinking over the weekend that what is the meaning of eternity? When you say somebody is condemned for eternity, you can't fathom it with your mind. It's not a billion years. It's not a billion years. It's more than a billion years. You can't comprehend what eternity is with our mind. It's forever and ever and ever. Now imagine somebody condemned without God for eternity. Jesus is coming back. So for anybody listening to me today that have not received Jesus Christ into their lives, Jesus is coming back. He wants you. You are from God, and he wants to take you back to God. That's why he died. This is not the end. I was just thinking to myself that people that I've met in my primary school, in my secondary school, in the university days, how will it be? It would be lovely to see everybody again with God in heaven, but it's not possible because some have died, not knowing God. And I'm not scaring anyone, but it could be our turn tomorrow. It could be our turn now. Even we Christians, we should be prepared to meet our God. We should be prepared to meet our King. And lastly, in John 14:16, Jesus said this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Some people claim that Christianity are monopolizing heaven. Yes, that's the scripture. If you say it like that we are monopolizing heaven, well, Jesus said it. Jesus said it. There's no way to the Father. There's no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to the Father. He said, and the salvation in no other name, for there's no other name that a man will be saved but the name of Jesus. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your word, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the word you put into my heart. I've spoken it, O Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, because you are going to back it up with signs and wonders. It's going to germinate in people's heart, O Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for hope that you've restored into our heart. We give you all the glory, mighty God, in Jesus' mighty name. I would like us to finish this section by this song. Thank you.